Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
It is in Powerhouse this morning. We have a lot to go through. We have Kathy Anderson is back with us, the executive director of Empower House, and she has brought one of her staff people in. We're going to talk to her in just a second and introduce you to that person in just a second behind door number two. We'll get to that in a second. Kathy Anderson is here, though, first. Hi, Kathy. Good to see you this morning.
Good morning, Ted.
It's been a long time. I think it was before it was... It was during the holidays, I think, the last time I saw you.
That's a good point. Yeah, so it's great to be here in the new year.
Glad to have you back. One of the things, we talked so much last year about the need for a new heating and air system at the shelter and just how important that was, and did a number of shows and videos and talked about it. And I hear that paid off. It's taken care of.
Yeah. Announcement is. Yeah, so thank goodness you did so many shows and you talked about it as much as you did, because a lot of people we heard from said, hey, I heard on the radio about this need. And people kept giving, and all told, we have the system paid off. So that was a huge leap, as you know. It was a $164,000 job that was replacing all the heating and air in the building of a 10,000 square foot building.
Yeah.
It meant that there were like five outside units, five indoor units in the attic, and then all of the ductwork that had to be redone, and also that virus killing technology. So, wow, there's some doctor office quality clean air at the shelter right now, and thanks to our community.
It was so interesting, Kathy. Every time we did shows on it, and especially going over to the shelter and talking to some of the workers there, and they just talked about how difficult it was when you had women that were seeking shelter and in a battered kind of situation, mm-hmm. to be able to provide them with either heating or air conditioning depending on the season, and that's a big deal.
It was very traumatic. I mean, to already be in our building, you know, folks have been through a lot already. And then acclimating to that change in their lives, being uprooted and being in an environment they're not familiar with. And then, you know, we have a very welcoming set of people working at Empower House. And so, you know, they're always well received, but it doesn't feel good when you've made that choice to leave an abusive relationship, which is a really positive change, even though a huge disruption. But then you're in an environment where, you know, it gets so hot that it wakes you up in the middle of the night, and then you, your children can't sleep, and your baby's crying, and, you know, rightfully so, because it's not a good environment.
Yeah.
And so getting that regulated and getting that fixed and getting that replaced as it aged was just such a huge thing for a commercial building like that. And our community pulled through, and what an incredible thing that was to give to these women and children.
Oh, it was, because it was a little bit later than this time last year, but it was the early part of the year. Remember, we did our first show, and you had somebody from the Lions Club and various people, several people in, and it was a big amount. I mean, there were, like you said, there were a lot of units involved and a lot of work involved, a lot of duct work involved, and the community came through.
It was a daunting project, really. And I think when people heard the price tag, I know for us it was a real shock, and so it had to have been a shock for a lot of people, and thankfully, you know, folks recognized the importance of it and said, hey, I can help with that. So we had some, you know, the Lions Club were the ones who came out of the gate really supporting us in the community, pushing mm-hmm. other clubs and everybody pulling together, and then getting the match gift from Lions International, the foundation. That was a huge infusion at the beginning, and that was really us being able to communicate to our community. And a lot of people came in with some really larger gifts that made it go faster. But then there were a lot of people that gave at a more common amount. And that, too, added up. And thankfully, now that's paid off and the problem is solved. It's really great.
Before we take a break and get into what we're really going to get into this morning, one of the things we always talk about, and a lot of times it gets pushed further down than it probably should, the hotline number. If there's someone in the community or you fear for someone who might be involved in domestic violence, 373-9373 is the hotline number that people can call and get help in the area.
24 hours, it's free. And sometimes family members or friends will call that line just to get some information about how they can help someone they know.
So we'll mention that again throughout, but there is a hotline available, and if you know of someone or you need it, it's 373-9373. February is Teen Dating Violence Awareness Month, and you have brought along someone. We're going to get into a lot of that this morning.
Absolutely. JC is here, and we're going to be sharing with you. JC is going to be sharing with you all things related to our programming with teens. So we're excited to share that with the community.
JC, welcome. We're happy to have you here this morning.
Thank you for having me.
This is, and we're going to jump into this in just a second, but before we take a break, this is what you're doing is so interesting to me. Just that it's you're really teaching people what to look for, kids, and boy, it's so important.
Yes, absolutely. 1 in 3 teens will experience intimate partner violence before they become an adult. So, just letting them know what's out there and educating them is really important to us.
Wow, that statistic right there, that's a pretty. That's a scary statistic, and I and it's something I can see why you do what you do, and that's something for families to be aware of, that's out there.
Yeah, absolutely. While we do want to educate, you know, the youth on the relationships that they are going to be entering into, we also want to help parents and the people that support them really understand and be able to talk to them about that as well.
We're going to jump into that when we come back. JC's here along with Kathy Anderson from Empower House, empowerhouseva.org. The website, more on News Talk 1230 WFVA. We'll be right back.
Opinions, we've all got them. And we'd like to hear yours on Town Talk. Brought to you by EV Mobility. Here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Empower House, domestic violence, our focus this morning. Kathy Anderson, the executive director, is here. JC Houseman is here, the children's resiliency advocate for Empower House. It is February is Teen Dating Violence Awareness Month. And as we just said, JC, this is so important. In the overall scope of things, to be able to reach out and get to kids early and teach them some things to look for.
Absolutely. We're very lucky that we get to go into a lot of the schools locally, Spotsy, Stafford, City of Fredericksburg, and sometimes in King George and Caroline County, and talking to those students about the relationships they're in, about red flags to look for, and just really what abuse is, so they know and understand that it's not just one thing.
It's kind of like a healthy, you're teaching them healthy relationships.
Absolutely, yes.
Because I get, in any relationship, there are some things to look for, and we'll talk about that, but you go into these things, and especially when you think about teenagers, and it's just, you know, this is wonderful, it's going to last forever, he or she is just the best, and you know, the statistics you just gave, 1 in 3, shows you that that's not the case.
Right. And it comes with a lot of teenagers, you know, they haven't been taught either how to communicate or about appropriate boundaries, or they're just getting to the age where they're learning about those things. Maybe not, they haven't been taught about them. And so we want to get in there and help them understand, you know, how they can be a good partner, but also how to look for a good partner or a good friend if they're not dating yet.
It's interesting. I'm sure that you have cases where when you talk and do some of your things, the people suddenly realize this isn't normal. This isn't the way it should be.
Absolutely. Recently in a middle school, as we were going through just kind of what abuse is, afterwards a student came up to me and asked if we could talk a little bit, and that's really important to us too, that they know that they have someone to speak to. And she just shared that some of these things were happening in her own relationship in seventh grade, and that she didn't realize that they were wrong or that it was unhealthy. And so to have that moment was really important for me too, to understand why it's important to do what we do.
Well, because I know sometimes adults don't know. Sometimes we've done shows and talked about this where adults just take things for granted and just go, well, it's like that for everybody. So to teach this to teenagers is really, really important.
Yes. We try to make it, you know, engaging and I don't want to say fun, but try to make it fun because they really feel like they can talk about it or that it's an open conversation to have.
Is this something, JC, that you're doing with both boys and girls?
Yes. Sometimes in the middle schools, they split them up into, you know, family life curriculum. Mm-hmm. So they do the girls one day and the boys another. Sometimes in the high schools, it's boys and girls together. So it's always interesting to hear the feedback from different groups.
Well, we hear so much and deal so much with just the whole domestic violence topic. And I think you don't always think about we need to be teaching and doing preventative kind of things like you're doing in the younger grades.
Yeah, 16 to 24 is the most dangerous age for a woman in a domestic violence relationship. And so as teens start dating, you know, younger and younger, or they're on social media more, so they're exposed to different things, that's why we feel it's so important to educate them about it sooner.
And I'm sure that you are the kind of person that one of the things that you try to do is develop some sort of relationships with some of these kids, so they will feel free to come to you and share and ask you things maybe that in a larger group they don't want to ask.
Yeah, absolutely. We always try to let them know during the presentation that we're available after the hotline that you mentioned before, that they can reach out on that there's different platforms, different avenues that they can reach out to an advocate, talk to somebody, to include myself.
Well, and when this happens as an adult, I'm sure comes as a shock for kids to when you're dating just in a teenager kind of relationship or a young adult relationship. It's even, especially if you don't have much experience, you haven't dated much, all of a sudden you're in a situation like this, and you know you're at least, I'm sure, giving them some tools to be able to cope with some of this.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of times they just want to talk. They just want to, you know, tell you about it and make sure that they're not feeling crazy. We have multiple pamphlets and things to give out to sort of talk about like what it looks like so they can see it a little more physically. And we have different groups available. We have teen boys and teen girls groups. I facilitate those as well. And that gives them a space to come talk in a smaller setting or in a setting with people who are experiencing maybe similar things.
But Kathy, this is really a natural step for what you all do to be reaching out to kids.
I just love this program and the stuff that JC's doing and some of her counterparts. And, when they're in the classroom, they have the most engaging materials to cover these topics. I mean, these topics are already part of family life curriculum, as JC said. But the various tools that they have between video and some fact sheets about identifying, like the students will get in small groups and they'll have a series of statements about within a relationship and how they can play out. So the students will talk about, you know, is this a healthy behavior? Is this an unhealthy behavior? Or is this an abusive behavior? And they have to talk about it, and or they contemplate it themselves. And then back in the larger group, they talk through some of those incidents. And I think, you know, having that hands-on information where some of them haven't thought about it yet, or some of them have a friend who's in an abusive relationship, and they'll be like, okay, I totally recognize,
yeah,
you know, this is happening with my friend, and this is such great information, because it kind of helps them to be able to talk to their friends and say, hey, you know, I didn't like this, but, you know, now we're getting education on it and it really isn't healthy and I really care about you, you know, so it opens that conversation in so many ways.
Does that, I'm sure that would be really another kind of aspect of all of this, JC, that kind of thing of you take this and then you see a friend that's going through it.
Absolutely. That's a big part of the presentations that we do as well, is how to help a friend. And we kind of come up together as a group or in smaller groups, ways that we would help, and we share with them, you know, some of the ways, some of those things can be helpful, and how sometimes it might have an effect that we wouldn't think about if we weren't experiencing that ourselves. So just figuring out ways of safe people they can talk to, and how to also take care of themselves, because a lot of, you know, kids feel very stressed when they know someone that mm-hmm. they care about is being hurt. And so we share with them that they can be there for them, but we also want them to know that we can support them as well if they need to talk about that.
In this kind of subject too, it's great that you're able to take it into schools and be able to talk in this context, because a lot of parents, I'm sure, feel just really inadequate of how do I talk about this?
Absolutely, and we've come up with a teen dating violence booklet to help parents start that conversation and engage in it. Because we know it is difficult to talk about, and it can be uncomfortable, especially if that parent is experiencing it at home. It can be even more difficult to talk about.
In the next segment, we're going to talk about some of the warning signs and get into all of that. But Kathy, this kind of thing, I think would also bring about some real interesting conversations at home, that all of a sudden JC's describing some things, and someone may think, I see those kinds of things, you know, with maybe a family member.
It's been really validating for kids, because, you know, growing up with domestic violence, witnessing it, it's a very stressful environment. It's experiencing trauma yourself. And so if in school they have the information about healthy relationships and some of those warning signs, then they can apply it at home. And we've heard from young people, and we've also heard from a parent of kids who have been in the presentations, who say, you know, my daughter or my son brought me this information and told me to call you. That always touches us, that it was applied and that it caused someone to reach out for help because they knew there was a resource now.
Well, just being in the schools and just being able to provide this information, it's a whole nother group, and there really is so much. You're hoping that it becomes preventative.
The schools are really great partners, and the kids themselves, I mean, I think the schools like that it's an engaging presentation done by folks who are going to talk about it a little differently and have some expertise, but the kids are really responsive. They really eat up the information. They again appreciate that there's videos and there's pauses for conversations and that there's materials that they can relate to. And that JC talks about social media and how that is also something they're, you know, learning and spending a lot of time on. And so those kinds of things can play out on social media as well. So it's really relevant to their experiences. And that excites a lot of kids to talk about it. Some of the kids are really quiet and just taking in that information and, mm-hmm. and applying it, you know.
Well, and I guess too, JC, you're dealing with some kids, either that they're role models or something, maybe that they've had bad role models in their own family, or just things that they've seen on the media themselves and thinks this is how a guy acts. And I'm sure there's a lot of that.
Absolutely. We love to talk about social media, and they love to ask what they're watching on TV, not to just stay cool myself, but to also understand what they're seeing and how TV and movies and media can sort of make these very dramatic or explosive relationships kind of sexy or things like this. And we talk about, would we really want to be in a situation or relationship like that?
I guess I'm sure this is these kind of programs had to kind of be put on hold or done differently during COVID times.
Yes, COVID, we had to really pivot those services. We offered them virtually, so we did a lot of virtual presentations, which was difficult to engage the students the same way, but we did our best to still kind of change some of those activities that we do, that we could do them virtually still.
J.C. Hausman is the Children's Resiliency Advocate with Empower House. Kathy Anderson, the Executive Director of Empower House, is here. EmpowerHouseVA.org. February is Teen Dating Violence Awareness Month. We'll take a break and return and continue on. We'll talk about warning signs when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It is 829.
Okay, listen, we got to talk about something.
Talk done right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility. Here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Got a question for today's guest? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Shoup.
It is domestic violence our focus this morning. Empower House Inn. We mentioned earlier the hotline is 373-9373. 373-9373 is the hotline number. Empower House Inn. VA.org. J.C. Hausman is here, the Children's Resiliency Advocate, and Kathy Anderson, the Executive Director of Empower House, here again, EmpowerHouseVA.org. So as far as warning signs go, what are some of the things that you, J.C., try to direct kids and get them thinking about? Here are some situations that may be warning signs that all somewhere down the line or even at that moment might not be right.
Yeah, absolutely. We talk about jealousy. We talk about social media. When a partner or somebody tries to keep you away from your friends or your family, we have an activity that I think is really great. We build a continuum with the students. We ask them to, they each get a card with something on it, mm-hmm. Some sort of incident of what we consider an unhealthy relationship, domestic violence, and they line up from least to worst or most dangerous to least dangerous. With those situations, and then we go through it, and it's always interesting to see their perspective of what they think is not such a bad thing, and we always have the end card of being homicide so that they understand that this is where the most dangerous parts of a domestic violence relationship can go. And I like to just, once they've lined up, say that if we ignore the jealousy and we ignore that they don't want us to see our friends or talk to our parents, and we go on, that it can keep building. And so that's always a very great thing that they can see and that they can build themselves together.
It's interesting that, you know, just some of those things that you mentioned, just as kids are keeping them from their parents or various, I mean, those are things that as people get older, you see manifested just as adults. So at each stage of life, it's different, but ultimately, they really are all this. They all are the kind of the same thing.
Yeah, absolutely, and I think that's what can be kind of confusing about it for teens or their parents or things like that, the adults that support them, that these things should only be happening. People have this idea that it only happens once you're married or once you're an adult.
Yeah.
But there can be different aspects of it that play out when they're younger.
Well, especially like the jealousy one. That seems like, especially for teenagers, can be a real early kind of thing, or something that you can see, but it can lead to. It seems like it's one of the kind of the gateway things of leads to some of the other ones.
Absolutely. We talk about, you know, someone is demanding your social media passwords, or they're demanding to constantly see your phone or know who you're talking to. We like to remind them that you do have the right to, you know, say this is mine and that one's yours, and that those things are separate.
And I'm sure in some cases, either the guys or the girls, it's just like, but I want, you know, I don't, you know, I want them to keep liking me.
Right.
And there's that whole thing.
Right. Absolutely. And we do talk about that, especially with that continuum. We kind of we when we're engaging them, we want to say, you know, oh, well, if someone is jealous, that means they like you, or that they means they're still interested in you, or to make them kind of, you know, play that game. But in a healthy relationship, that communication should be open, and you should both feel secure in, you know, both as equally important in the relationship.
And again, the whole goal is just healthy relationships, of being able to be able to see right away and not just fall in love. And when you get into these situations, you don't always think straight, and you're willing to overlook some things. And I guess you're trying to let them know, don't overlook some of these things.
Absolutely. Another great activity we play is Let's Make a Deal, where we pass out cards with characteristics and they trade to see what they'd be willing to overlook or what they'd be willing to get rid of if they wanted to have, you know, one card may say loyalty and the other card may say tall. So are they willing to be not have loyalty to have a tall person? And it's called Let's Make a Deal, Build a Boo. So you're building your perfect boo, as they call it.
Oh, how much fun is that?
And it's always interesting to see, you know, what kids are willing to trade for, and, you know, respect and trustworthiness. And then doesn't matter if they have curly hair, if they have a lot of money, or they're good at sports. And just seeing that play out, and then at the end, what their boo, you know, quote unquote boo, looks like, it's really interesting. And I think it's helpful for them to kind of see, as they're trading, they're like, am I willing to give up someone who's respectful to me just so that they'll be good at football, or, you know, something
yeah.
like that.
I'm sure Build a Boo is a great, that's classic. I'm sure it's interesting. I mean, that would be something that, I mean, you as an adult looking at some of these sometimes, I'm sure want to just take some people aside and say, no, this, you know, you need to start over. We need to just totally start over. But sure, you see that, though, of really some things where people did, they just that they don't understand.
Yeah, absolutely. At the beginning of every presentation, I like to say there's no right or wrong answers. And then there's a few times where I've been like, that's an incorrect answer.
Yeah.
Like, it's okay, but we're going to talk about it a little bit more. Just, you know, the struggling to respect other people's choices, or, you know, jealousy, or all those things, again, that they see on maybe social media or TV or something like that. They're like, well, that's what a relationship looks like. And I'm like, well, hold on, friend. Let's take a minute and backtrack just a little bit. So,
Kathy, has social media changed how this, because social media has just changed so many things. I see it and think of what it was like just a couple of years ago when I was a kid. But that seems like that has sort of changed a whole lot of things in a bad way.
Well, as JC said, it's shaping kind of what they, you know, what they believe is the normal, or there's a lot of pressure from social media.
Yeah.
Or plenty of messaging that is unhealthy. And sometimes that's funny. You know, sometimes that, you know, they're getting a lot of joy out of watching some things that just make them laugh. But sorting out, as JC said, you know, from reality to what isn't real out online is something they have to sort through. For us, the social media, say with the domestic violence, there's some really tough things happening in terms of how people control someone else or how they monitor or track a partner. So if you look at stalking as a part of domestic violence, you know, that's an extreme, abusive, very violent, very scary kind of controlling behavior. You know, social media has opened a wide variety of ways to further abuse, unfortunately. So that's just another area that we spend a fair amount of time on, helping people understand how and they may intuitively already realize something's happening where they're being tracked, but social media can also be used in that way to track. And so we have to kind of unravel, like, what are the avenues that could be happening? Why does he always know where you are? Or how does he know that these conversations took place? Or, you know, in a healthy relationship, maybe it's an open book. Maybe there's things you want to keep private. You know, maybe jealousy is a normal emotion, but in an abusive relationship, jealousy is used as an excuse to control your partner. So in all of those scenarios, when the kids are learning about it too, they are trying to sort out what's normal, what's not normal. And from one kid to the next, they all come to the table with different experiences,
yeah,
and different learnings. And so it's interesting for them to talk about it. It's interesting, as JC said, to look at what they're saying might be good, where it's like, oh, we might want to talk about that. But because everyone's different and does have different experiences, it's rich, the conversation. And it also means people are coming to the table with way different notions of what's healthy and what's not healthy. And that conversation, coupled with the education, really helps them to start out on their journey with some tools in their toolbox to, you know, realize, well, maybe this isn't healthy, and maybe this is something I'm supposed to negotiate. And if I can't negotiate it, you know, maybe it's not worth it. This isn't what I want in a relationship. But if you have nothing and you go into a relationship and you don't know what to expect, you can so easily be taken advantage of. You can be taken advantage of anyway.
Yeah.
But having some tools helps.
And boy, JC, when you're dealing with so many people at so many different levels, and I guess just some people would be so vulnerable at this age, and you've really got to juggle a lot of things.
Yeah, absolutely. Every class, you know, while they're all usually the same age, it can be in the room different maturity levels,
right,
different life experiences. And so that's always something that we try to take in and be respectful of and be mindful of, that everybody's coming from a different place. And so, and we ask the students that too, to just, you know, kind of look around the room and think about their classmates, that they don't know everything that they go through or that they experience.
So are there other fun things like Build a Boo?
So
I don't know that they can get any better than that.
Build a Boo is a personal favorite and I think a student favorite. And I would like to say that it is kind of fun at the end when the kids say, you know, on the other side of social media, where they say, do you have social media? And we say, yes. And now it's a new way to engage them, to let them know that those resources are available to them. Like we talked about, it's Teen Dating Violence Awareness Month. And so we've really tried to put out some stuff on our Instagram and other accounts to just let them see that we are having those conversations and that we care. We had mentioned we have Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
I recently did a presentation and we talked about, you know, I was like, what social media apps are you using? And then I said, what about Facebook? And one of the students was like, isn't that for old people? And I was ready to pass out right there,
yes,
in the cafeteria. But I was like, well, I was like, some of us young people, thank you, still use it. But,
yes.
So just trying to let them know that information is there. And, you know, sometimes it's a good way. I've had students say that they're like, I'm going to tell my mom to look at your page on Facebook. And so then, again, that information is getting to them in a way that we might not have had it available to them before.
It isn't. It can be good, used for that. And you can see things. So this is you just think of the whole picture in what you're doing with this and how I would think in a lot of cases, parents would be appreciative of this kind of, just this kind of insight to things, because like you say, in a lot of cases, parents may not be able to know a lot of this kind of thing, just especially the warning signs part.
Yeah, absolutely. We've had a teen girls group, and a teen girls grandparent was raising them, and they came to me just before the group, and, you know, as we had a discussion about what we would be talking about in the group and what that would look like, and she just shared that she was glad that resource was available because she just didn't know how to have those conversations. There was, you know, there's an age gap. There's this learning curve for her taking on responsibility of raising a grandchild. And so she just felt like she wasn't meeting the mark in terms of how to talk to her about relationships and things like that.
I would also think that the people that work with youth would be helped by some of the tools that you have, just in whatever a youth group setting, just to be able to observe things or see things and be able to say to somebody, hey, you might want to be aware of this.
Of course. You know, we're so grateful that the staff and teachers at the schools let us come in and have these conversations. And we also want to let them know that we're there to support them as well if there are things that they feel like someone else would be better capable to handle, or that we can also be kind of that backup support if a student comes to them, if they, you know, we talk a lot about safe adults and teachers, counselors, social workers in the building that can be there for them if they're experiencing this. And we want those that staff to also know that we can be another avenue, or we can be, you know, just additional support.
Well, and what you do, JC, is so important. And in some cases, you may never know of how you prevented something. You prevented something years later that somebody gets into a situation and thinks, you know, I remember Bill DeBoo years ago, and that's not right. And it's just one of those things that you don't know what kind of an impact you're going to have later on.
I think that's something with a lot of our work that maybe we don't always see it, you know, directly, but
yeah,
we hope to be, you know, like you said, just educating them and letting them know that there are resources available to them.
Kathy, I just think of over the years, as we've talked about things, when this program was developed, or I think of when you've done programs and offered things in different languages, and there's so much more to what you do today than even 5 years ago.
Yeah, I know. I was thinking about, you're talking about resources and parents and, you know, the difficulty in talking with teens about this. And, you know, our staff over the years have put together some great information that's on our teen page on our website, empowerhouseva.org. And as it is Teen Dating Violence Awareness Month, it would be great to take a look at that. You know, I think the statistic is 80% of kids in dating violence relationships, 80% do not tell their parents. And I think that if parents were more versed, and you can get versed quickly from that resource on our website, I mean, we have it in a printed version as well, and we just converted it too into Spanish, which is on our website. But if parents did just read through these basic things, and as you said, Ted, adults are also kind of ill-equipped sometimes,
right,
to know, like, well, what is a healthy relationship? And so I think this common language information, if we could all be versed in it more, I think it would be easier to have that conversation, and our youth would be more supported and have some of those really important pieces of information that they need at this time as adolescents, as they are, you know, coming into the world.
No, JC, because we talk about kids in the warning signs. It's good for parents to know some warning signs, and all of a sudden to see that if your child is starting to do some things that you haven't seen, that it may be way more than just, well, it's just normal growing up, adolescent kind of things.
Absolutely. Just those conversations, just talking with them. It's always interesting when we're in the schools or with students that definitely have that really open communication with their parents, because their answers are very, you know, when we're asking questions or have you seen this, or do you know what this is? And they have these answers that really, I'm like, well, about to steal my job if I'm not careful.
Yeah.
And so you realize that some people are having these conversations, and it's really helpful for these students, and they see it and they understand it.
And what a great time that you're able to do this when they're in school, because you think in a lot of cases after they graduate, and if they go to college or they get a job or in a trade or something, and you're equipping them right now, which is when there's still a chance for you know, kind of parental oversight or just be even around friends.
Absolutely. Just such a formative time, and being a teenager it's difficult. You're
yeah.
going through all these emotions and a lot of stressors, and so we just, again, I know I keep saying, but we want them to know that they are supported and that there are people that we want to engage and hear their voices, and we think it's important what they have to say and what they're experiencing.
This is Teen Dating Violence Awareness Month. JC Hausman, the Children's Resiliency Advocate with the Powerhouse, here along with Kathy Anderson and powerhouseva.org. The hotline number, 373-9373. Quick break, and we will wrap this up on Newstalk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on Newstalk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving for daily life, travel, or just having fun. Visit goevmobility.com. Miss an episode of Town Talk? No problem. Just subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. Now, the host of Town Talk. Ted Schubel.
Good stuff this morning with J.C. Houseman and Kathy Anderson with Empowerhouse, empowerhouseva.org. J.C. is the children's resiliency advocate, as we talk about just dealing with kids and all. If people want more information, want to get involved, or what do they need to know?
We ask them to reach out, like we've talked about our social media, that we're really doing a big drive right now for Teen Dating Violence Awareness Month to share that information. And sometimes when you share that, you might not realize that the people that are seeing it, it might be the first time they're hearing of the information, or they might realize that you're someone they could talk to if they needed help finding those resources. For our teen services, especially our groups, if someone wanted to get involved, maybe less of the talking portion with teens, those people eat. And so we always love to have snacks available for them. Food is always a good way to just kind of make everybody feel more comfortable. Sure. And so that's something we always appreciate for those services as well.
Well, and in this kind of situation too, if you're a parent or a grandparent and you just think something's not right between those two, you've got good information, or just call and talk to somebody like you or somebody from Empowerhouse, and you can give some guidance.
Absolutely. Again, that hotline, the 540-373-9373, is 24 hours a day. And we always have advocates available who are more than happy to kind of share information, give resources, or get further into the services that are available to them.
And just because you gave this in the very first segment to start off, the one in three are going to be involved, are going to be, you know, exposed or involved in this kind of thing, it's out there. And if you suspect something, or if you suspect a friend or anybody, it's just something not to just overlook and think, oh, they'll grow out of it.
Absolutely. Just being willing to talk about it and start that conversation, or just pointing them in the direction of some resources that you think they might need, can always be helpful, and it could save someone's life ultimately.
Now, JC, as you were talking today, I was thinking, you're really in a lot of cases with these kids, the first person maybe that exposes them to the fact that this isn't right, this isn't healthy, and this is something that can lead to some really bad things.
Absolutely. And once we say those things, we want to follow up, and we want them to know that, again, that their voices are so important, and what they're experiencing isn't something to take lightly, and that we're here for them.
Well, thank you for what you do, because you really are a key person, and just with the information in what you're providing in schools, and great stuff. Thanks for coming in and sharing it this morning.
Thank you for having us.
EmpowerhouseVA.org, the hotline number 373-9373. February is Teen Dating Violence Awareness Month. J.C. Houseman is the Children's Resiliency Advocate with Empowerhouse. Kathy Anderson, the Executive Director. Thank you to both of you for what you do, and we'll do this again.
Thank you.
EmpowerhouseVA.org. Thank you for listening. Stay safe. We'll see you in the morning.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility. Here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own, and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear Town Talk anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.